Hi, this is Syed Abraham Hashimi. We're here at .NET Conf. Today we're going to be talking about publishing ASP.NET Core applications in this section. In this talk, I'm mostly going to be focusing on how the publish process works for .NET Core applications and how it's different from ASP.NET projects. We'll also cover how to customize the publish process, how to completely replace the publish process, also publishing from the command line, and then continuous integration publish as well. I'm not sure if I'm going to have the time to get through all this content, but hopefully we can. And by the way, I will be taking questions as well. So if you have any questions, go ahead and send those on over. Here's my contact information. If you have any questions and I didn't get to the question in time, or you didn't want to send your question, go ahead and contact me either by email or on Twitter here. All right. So let's spend a few minutes to talk about how Visual Studio publishing works. And by the way, I will cover kind of some command line examples of publishing without Visual Studio. But so with ASP.NET, the kind of ASP.NET 4 projects, the publish process was entirely basically kind of defined as a set of MS build tasks and targets. So you would invoke the build, and then MS build would actually call the publish process. What that meant was, in order to extend the publish process or to customize it in any way, you had to understand all of our MS build tasks, targets, items, properties. And you know, the MS build targets that we have is actually thousands and thousands of lines. So for .NET Core, we decided that we needed a kind of a more simpler model, and also a model that kind of matches what somebody would do at the command line a little bit more. So I've got a diagram here that kind of shows how the publish process works now for .NET Core applications. So we've got it's essentially three steps. We've got Visual Studio, you open the publish dialog, and then when you click publish, a couple things happen. First, we call the command line utility .NET build to actually build your project. And then after that, we call .NET publish to take your application and then put that into a folder that's basically kind of gotten it ready to be published to the final destination. And then after .NET publish has completed, we actually would just go ahead and invoke a PowerShell script passing in the parameters that were defined. And you have complete control over step number three, and it's defined inside a PowerShell file there. And we'll get into kind of customizing those as well. All right. Let's go ahead and get started with our demos here, basically. So I have some samples here, and this is all on GitHub. It's github.com/SyedIHashimi and netconf. I'll have those in the links as well. So first, I'm going to go ahead and create a publish profile here. And the focus of this talk is not actually going to be the publish dialog, but how publishing actually works. But I do want to touch on a couple items here before we move on to that, though. For .NET Core applications, we haven't had time to add the full publishing support. So you're seeing kind of a limited set of options here, as opposed to what we have for regular ASP.NET projects. But we're working on adding support, let's say for FTP, SFTP, just regular MS deploy endpoints. And then later on, we'll also start working on some stories for publishing in Visual Studio directly to a Linux box with either with some technology that's writing on top of SSH. All right, so let me create a file system profile here. I'm just going to go ahead and save this guy. I'm not actually going to publish it. Let me change the output. All right, so let me go ahead and close this, and then I'll show you what files were created. So after you use the publish dialog, we will create you two files in the publish profiles folder under properties. One's a pubxml file. This is it's actually an MS build file that has all the published properties. And then we have a PS1 file. So when you publish, these are the properties that actually get passed to the PS1 file for execution. All right, so now let me show you. So here's the PS1 file here. So this is the script that actually gets invoked. And there's three kind of components to this script here. We've got the parameter declarations part. We have another kind of section here that's related to gathering dependencies if you execute this script on a machine that doesn't have Visual Studio installed. And then when we get to this section is actually when the interesting stuff happens. So let me expand that. And this is the actual call to publish your application here. So for the most part, you can pretty much ignore everything that's happening above this because it's just gathering dependencies and it's really not that interesting. All right, now let me show you how can we make like a kind of a quick edit to this and then see if that edit actually goes out into Visual Studio. All right, I'm just gonna write a message here. Okay, so I'll put one at the top and then one at the very bottom. Oops. All right, I'm just going to publish this, and then I want to see if these messages actually show up in the output window here. All right, so here, now let me zoom in on this guy a little bit. So we can see I've got my publish started message here. Actually, before I get into that, let me kind of show you the results in the output window. So I said first we'll call .NET build. And we can see, so here's the publish call. The call to .NET build is right here, actually. So here's the call for .NET build. So we can see that we actually build the application with that call. And then here's the call to .NET publish. And those steps were completed. And then after that, the script actually was invoked. So I can see publish started here. The publish process actually publishes the files. And then at the very end, we can see publish ended here. All right, so to modify this, all I had to do was open up a PS1 file and add regular PowerShell statements at certain spots, either at the top or at the bottom. If I wanted to do this with ASP.NET 4 projects, I'd have to go ahead and create a publish profile, and then I would have had to open the pub.xml file and then add a target before and after. But I would have to know what those target names were that I was extending in order to actually inject into that publish process. With this flow, we don't have to have any understanding of targets. We don't have to have any understanding of tasks or any real process. All I need to know is when do I want my code to actually execute. So we've simplified that process significantly. And then, another reason why I was kind of pointing out these calls to the command line utilities are that, you know, if you're working on automating your build and publish process, and let's say if you're working with a team that some of the developers are using Visual Studio and some of them aren't, or let's say you're building on Windows and a Linux CI server, you might not want to use the Windows specific items here. So what you can do is you can take a look through the output window to see the calls that Visual Studio is making to the command line utilities and then actually use those within your own scripts to kind of automate the entire process. And I'll show you a little bit about that as well. All right, so we've got that. So now we've showed how it's basically kind of easy to get started with publishing and how you can actually modify that. So now let me show you let me show you a more realistic scenario here for some type of publish customization. I've got a different project here. This one's called, it's just extra files. And so I have a web application here, and the scenario is, imagine you're developing a website, and as you're developing your website, you don't necessarily need to have the full set of resources that are associated with the site for development on particular parts of it. So for instance, my website might have thousands of images, and then, you know, I don't necessarily want to check those in, and I don't necessarily want the developers to have those on their box. So what I might do is I might actually extend the publish process to pick up the extra files from the other folders, they actually include them into the publish process instead of checking those files in. Let's take a look at what that would look like here. So inside the extra files here, I've got a file system publish profile here, and then I'm going to open up the PowerShell script. Let's take a look. I'm going to scroll down to the part that I said was kind of interesting, that call to publish ASP.NET. That's the guy that actually takes your files from your local machine and moves them to your remote machine. All right, so now what I've done is I've actually just customized this to just kind of grab some files. So we can see here that I'm looking at a folder called external images, and then I get all the files that are inside this folder, and then I just copy them to the destination. The only thing I had to know here was pack output, which comes in as a parameter to this script here. Besides that, all I really had to do is regular PowerShell commands, and then just to know where the folder is. So let me show you the contents of this folder. All right, so if I look at my project first, inside www.root, I can see I have a images folder here that contains a single image. Now let me go back up to where the external images folder is. Here we can see I've got, I think, 7 images here. So when I publish this, hopefully my customizations will get invoked. The files will get copied to pack output, and then publish ASP.NET will pick up the results of pack output and then just publish that to my remote server. All right, so let's take a look. And let me open up the publish destination as well. Okay, we can see it started copying some of the content over. Oops, sorry, wrong folder there. All right, extra files, www.root. And then, so this is where we saw in the original www.root images, we just had one image, but now when I publish, I get the full set of images here. Okay. Let's go back and we'll spend a little bit more time talking about the parameters that come through here, because this is kind of a critical aspect of using these scripts. So the scripts are designed to where you can take the script and actually run it on a machine that doesn't have Visual Studio. So it'll go ahead and bootstrap itself with its dependencies. And then now let's take a look at the publish properties, the parameters here. So publish properties, this is a PowerShell hash table. So it's a key value pairs that have every item that's inside your pub.xml file. So that was this file here. So each one of these values will be passed in. If you add additional properties, your additional properties will also be passed in as well. Okay. Pack output, this is the folder where the results of the .NET publish will be placed at. So this is a temporary folder. I think it's in local app data. Okay, publish profile path. So now this is the scenario. Let's say you've taken your application. You're going to copy the PS1 file and the pub.xml file. And when you invoke the PS1 file, you can pass it the path of your pub.xml. And that's where it'll get those properties and then use that for publishing. And then NuGet URL is really more associated with dependencies, and if you needed to restore from a NuGet server that was different from your global config. All right. So let me show you. I showed you the. Let's kind of keep going on this thread with properties here. So I have a different sample here that's called print properties. Let me open up the PS1 file. So in this case, I created a file system profile. And then I just deleted the contents of the PS1 with the exception of the parameters here. You got to keep the parameter declaration as it is. Let me turn this off. Okay. And then after that, all I did was I just basically kind of printed out the properties of the published properties that are passed in. And then I just spit out some JSON here. Sorry about all these pop-ups here. All right. Let me go ahead and print this guy out, publish this guy out, I mean. and then let's take a look at the result. And I also am taking questions. So if you guys have any questions, definitely do send those over. So let's take a look at the result here. So we see that the call for .NET build happened, and then the call for .NET publish, and then the script was invoked here. We can see the only thing that happened here was it just printed out the values here. So let me go through. I'm going to add a new property here. And then I'll show you that this comes through as well. All right, let's print this off one more time. Okay. All right. Let me zoom in on this guy real quick. Okay, so now we can see my custom property here. So basically, oops, just one second. Let me get back to the regular Zoom here. So basically with this model, Visual Studio, it basically will just, after calling .NET publish, it'll just really invoke your script. So if you like the publish process that we have, you can extend that. If you have some sort of publish scenario that we can't possibly think of, then all you have to do is go ahead and create a file system profile, and then add whatever customizations that you want inside this pub.xml file, and then it will flow through to your PS1. So I think this really opens up a lot of possibilities here, I think, in terms of customizing your publish process and, you know, getting the exact same result from Visual Studio as what you get from the command line. All right, so now that we're on the topic of command line, let's start taking a look at how we can actually run this whole process from the command line. So let me grab some help statements here. So all the logic of the publish process is contained inside a module. It's the publish module. For machines that have Visual Studio installed, the publish module will be installed locally under the Visual Studio installation directory. For machines that don't have Visual Studio installed, this dependency is actually inside a NuGet package as well. So what we'll do is we actually restore the NuGet package and then grab that dependency out of there. And then the call to publish ASP.NET down here. Let me open up the profile. Oops, wrong one. All right, let's go back to an actual profile that wasn't modified. If I take a look at the call to publish ASP.NET, I'll see that what we do is we take your publish properties, pass those through, and then pass your pack output, and then the pub profile path. So essentially, this script is really just taking the parameters that were passed into it at the very top and then just kind of passing those through into publish ASP.NET. So it's kind of like a pass-through there. And then all the actual logic of the remote publish happens within this one step right here. Okay. So now the actual parameters for publish ASP.NET are the same as the script itself. So let me, I have a command here that I'm going to be able to, I'm going to execute this, and then that's going to load up the help, and then we'll inspect the help here. All right, so I've loaded that. Now I'll do git help, publish ASP.NET full. Okay, so here, just a description of the properties here, of the properties, parameters, I mean. We already kind of talked about these when we discussed the PS1 file. All right, so now this is how you can make a call from the command line to publish ASP.NET to invoke the publish process. And then the calls for publish ASP.NET would be exactly the same. So let me actually show you guys how we can do this. And one of the examples that haven't been updated here is the example of using the publish profile as well. But I'll show you guys how to do that. So let me open up a sample here. So publish extra files to local. OK. All right, so this is just a PowerShell script that I've created at the root of this folder. This could be easily replaced with a .sh file if you wanted something that would work cross-platform. Okay, so basically what I do here is I just create a few different properties here pointing to certain folders. And then to automate the process, I just go into the directory where project.json is and then call .NET publish, passing a particular directory here. And then after that, I get the path to the pubxml file. And then I just make my call to the file system profile. So I say to file system-publish, and then I pass it the pack directory and then the publish profile path. All right, so let me open up the extra files publish profile. So now we see it's getting published to publish out extra files. So let me go here and I'm going to delete that. And now let's go ahead and invoke the script and see if it works. All right, so now we can see, let's scroll back, okay. All right, so when I ran that script, we made the call to, let's see, where is it? Here it is, okay. All right, so we'll create the directory and then we'll make the call to .NET publish. For some reason, the command wasn't printed out here for some reason, but we called .NET publish here and then it goes on to invoke the script. We can see the copying images statement. And then the files get copied. Let's go take a look. All right, cool. So here's my www root. Here's my images. So basically, that's basically as simple as it gets to take the kind of existing project that you had, you create a publish profile, and then we use those resources from the command line. And then, you know, one other kind of note here, this file is a PS1 file, but you can make it into an SH file. Some of the examples that I will show here, you know, some of them will basically be with MS Deploy, so that's kind of Windows specific as well. So the MS Deploy stuff won't work on the cross-platform, obviously. All right, I'm seeing a couple questions flow through here. So John Parker asks, can you do publishing in VS Code? So that's a great question. So VS Code is more of an editor than it is an IDE. So I don't know if it would be totally appropriate to have quote-unquote published dialogue in Visual Studio Code. I think the Visual Studio Code publish process is probably going to be more oriented around a source control publish process. So I'm going to get into how do we actually hook up a CI server to an ASP.NET core project. And then, in addition to that, let's say for Azure App Services, we do have the publish using Git, so that's also called Kudu. So I think that's kind of the story for Visual Studio Code. And, you know, like I kind of mentioned before, I'm showing this with PS1 files because that's kind of, you know, what I'm the most comfortable with. But you could also do these with .sh files. And then you can even take your PS1 file that Visual Studio will invoke to then have it invoke your actual SH file. So I think that's how the publish process is for VS Code. All right, so Brent says, is there any way to publish to multiple servers / locations at once rather than having to publish twice? Yeah, great question, actually. That's kind of a good segue into a different demo that I have here. It's slightly different than publishing to two different locations at once, but let me show you. All right. So archive. Let me directly answer that question first. So if you want to publish to two different locations, what I would do is I would take your publish. I would take the PS1 file here, and then you have a call to publish ASP.NET. So that's going to publish to one location. To publish to another location, all you'd have to do is make another call to publish ASP.NET. And then you'll pass in your properties. So what you would have to do is go into your publish process and add whatever other publish properties you needed for that particular endpoint with whatever unique names. For example, Let me open one that's actually web deploy so I can show you more realistically. All right, so here's my web deploy one, and I'm going to take all the properties that are actually needed and then gather them in one spot so I can show you how I would create a profile that would publish to two different spots. All right, so now username. So for MS deploy, the password is handled special. We will encrypt the password and put it into the .user file. So you'll have to take care of your password somehow. But all right, so these are the properties that actually are important when you're publishing. So I'm going to grab these. And then what I would do, throw this at the end, and then I would just add like a 2 on here. You'd have to create your own unique names for each one of these guys. You'd also have to add the password somehow. All right, so now I've taken this profile, I've added these properties, so then you can go into your PS1 file and your publish to ASP.NET would use those properties, and then you would get those through publish properties. For example, if I wanted this one, this is how I would get it. So that's basically how you would create a publish profile that could publish to two different spots at one time. But I have something that's kind of similar to that that's a little different. So inside this sample here that I call archive after publish, I've created a file system profile. And then what I want to do is when I publish this, I want to take the contents of the publish artifacts and I want to back them up somewhere. So what I want to do, I want to go ahead and take the pack output folder and then actually throw that into a zip file that has like a unique file name. So let's take a look at how that might look like. All right, so I've got the call to publish ASP.NET here. And then I just declare my archive folder. Right now I just take it, I just throw it under the actual publish destination. But in reality, this would probably go to a network share. Okay, so I create the archive folder if it doesn't exist. And then these lines here will basically create a zip file out of it, these lines here, basically. And I've added some functions here to kind of support that. Oh, actually, well, I guess it's actually going into ctempfoo, but I think I was in the middle of making an update. So let me go and delete the ctemp and make sure there's, okay, so there's no foo file there. All right. So let me open up the publish dialog for this. All right, we can see this is getting published to publish out archive after, which doesn't exist. So let's publish it, and then let's see if our zip file gets created. Okay. All right, so now, oh man. Oh, actually, hold on, I might have made some sort of a mistake in this. Let's take a look. Error occurred. Okay. Yeah, I think I made some sort of a mistake inside this file here. Let me take a look. Did I modify it? Okay, I didn't modify this one during our talk. Okay. Man, interesting. Okay, I'm not really sure what happened with this one. For sure, this was working not too long back. Archive. Object reference not set to instance. Okay, that's okay. What I'll do is to try to diagnose this. Can actually go into PowerShell. All right, so this also will demonstrate how to just run this from the command line. Oops. I'll add verbose here. Let's see what else is going on. Error occurred during publish. Oh, pack out. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me grab the output folder here. All right. Output. Yeah, there we go. Let me just grab this. This is where Visual Studio put the pack results. Okay, let's see. It looks like I've got some sort of error inside my customization. Oh, the project file could not be loaded. To file system dot publish profile. Oh, I see. Okay. All right, one more time. To file. Oh, I see. Okay. Let me try this. I think we have a full path problem here. All right. One more time, and then if this doesn't work, we'll move on to the next one. Oh. Wow. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. Let's move on. But conceptually, I think there's something wrong with some PowerShell code that I've got here. But conceptually, this should have worked, actually. I'm not sure what the problem with this is. But in either case, all right. So let me move on, I guess. All right. So Michael has a question. I'm guessing that there will be soon tooling that will help us take care of more common operations. Oh, yes. Actually, talking about that, let me show you something real quick. There was another item that I wanted to touch base on that's kind of more common. That's the publishing of EF migrations. So I've got a publish profile that I've already created here for an Azure website. When I go to the settings tab, this is where you'll see any EF migrations that exist inside your project. And then here, it's actually looking for data context inside your project right now. So after it discovers it, these new checkboxes will appear. This is kind of similar to what we have in ASP.NET 4, but it's a little different. With regular ASP.NET projects, when you check the enable EF migrations on publish, what ended up happening there was we actually would modify the web config to execute your migrations at runtime. And then we received a lot of feedback about that. You know, one kind of, there's a lot of problems with it. For one, you have to run your app with some sort of account that actually can modify the SQL schema. For two, it had some performance impact for when your application was starting up. So now with .NET Core, we've kind of modified that process and it's a little different now. So when you enable the migrations for .NET Core projects, what happens is we'll call .NET Publish, and then after we call .NET Publish, we'll call the .NET EF commands to generate a migration script for each database which has been configured here. And then, and then when you publish on your client machine, we'll go ahead and create the idempotent migration script from your source code, and then we'll put that inside your web deploy payload, basically. And then when you publish, the files will get published, and then your database will be migrated as a part of your publish process. So there's no impact on the publish start time. And then the other thing that's different is how the connection string is handled. In ASP.NET projects in the past, the connection string would be stored inside the .pubxml file itself. That was problematic for a couple different reasons. One of them being that, you know, it could actually contain secrets, which is problematic. So with .NET Core, we store all the connection strings inside the pubxml.user file. So if multiple people are publishing a project that has EF, each person is going to have to go into this tab and configure this connection string here. And then also the other difference between ASP.NET projects is the connection string, because in ASP.NET projects, the connection string would go into webconfig. In .NET Core applications, the connection string goes into appsettings.json. So for regular ASP.NET projects, we had the concept of basically transforming the web config during the publish process. Now we don't have to do that. Let me show you what we do now. So I've got this starter web project here, and I've already published this out to Azure. If I take a look, I can see the only app settings file that I have is appsettings.json. Let me go into my startup.cs. And this is just a regular file, new project, web with, I think, individual auth. But we can see inside startup.cs, there's a line here that says, well, first we got this line that says, hey, go ahead and load appsettings.json. And then after that, look to see if there's a app settings file for this particular environment. For example, if I was running under the production environment, if there is a file that was called appsettings.production.json, that file would also get imported. And since it's after the call to importing app settings, it would override that. Okay. So locally, I just have appsettings.json. Let me show you what's on the remote for this particular project. So I'm going to go into my app service and then find the website here. And the files node is where I'm going to take a look to show you this app settings file that was created during publish. All right, so let me go back real quick, actually. Let me go back to the publish dialog. All right. So for EF, we have two checkboxes here. For databases, we have two checkboxes. One that says, use this connection string at runtime. This part is the one that actually will take the connection string and drop it into the new file. And then this checkbox is just for applying the migration. So this happens during the publish process, and then this connection string isn't used anywhere besides that. All right, so now when I ran that, the result is that I've got my appsettings.json on my remote file here. That's got my regular local DB connection string. And then sitting next to it, I've got appsettings.production.json. And then since it defines the same value here, the same basic element here for the connection string, this file will actually override that file. So you can imagine that, let's say if you're running this on multiple different endpoints, you could either create a different files for these different environments, and then you can set the hosting colon environment environment variable that actually would, you know, declare what environment is this. By default, when you're running in Visual Studio, the environment is development, and that's stored inside the launch settings .json file here. I have settings development. But if you're running on a machine, just a regular machine, just a regular IIS web server or web server here, the default is actually production. But you can set this to whatever you want. So imagine if I have an application which is going to get published to five different web servers. I would go ahead and provision those five different web servers. I'd go ahead and log into the machine, or if it was Azure, I would create an environment variable through the portal, hosting colon environment. And then I would define that to my own unique names. And then I can actually, I can keep the appsettings.environmentname.json in a special secure location, and then just go ahead and pull those down and actually include those in the publish process, or I can manually configure those machines ahead of time as well with those values. So that's kind of how you take care of publish settings and whatnot. Okay, so now here's another question. Okay, I'm guessing there will be soon tooling that helps take care of more common operations. Yeah, so that was the one where I kind of showed the EF stuff. And yeah, we're going to be adding more and more support to the tooling. And I didn't actually show you guys too much the publish dialog, but let me go back to it and I'll show you what's kind of some of the options that we already have today. So on the connection tab, this is just your remote connection. You can pick the target framework that you want to publish for. In this case, it's just the NetCore app. We have a couple of file. We have just kind of very basic options here. Remove additional files at destination. One note, another difference between .NET Core publishing versus ASP.NET publishing is that with ASP.NET Core, we'll always publish, we'll basically take your app offline during the publish process. That's because the assemblies actually get locked. And there's no way to unload them. So that's one difference. But yeah, we will be building more and more support. Let me show you something that's actually kind of interesting that not too many people know about. I'm just going to make a kind of minor edit to this file. All right, so this is a feature that we've had this feature for a long time, probably like 3 years at least, I think. But I think not too many people actually know about this feature. After you've created a published profile, you can right-click, and then we have some publish gestures here. So publish app settings. So if I just wanted to publish this one file by itself, you can either pick one file or many files, or even folders, actually. You can right-click and then go ahead and publish that directly. We can also preview the changes to this file. And then you can do the reverse, basically. You can download the file from your server if for some reason you got the contents wrong. All right, so let me go ahead and preview the changes here. Oops, you know what? This profile wasn't set up. Let me go through starter web. Let me create a new profile for that, and then we'll go through it one more time, and then I'll show you that. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and publish. I'm going to create a profile for an existing app service here, the same one that I was publishing to before. Go ahead and click OK, and then I'll close that. And now let's try it again. All right, so preview changes. Boom, there it goes. OK. So it kind of shows up in this nice little diffing tool. So if I was to publish this application or this one particular file, that's the set of changes that I'll see there. Okay, that was that. I know there was another kind of productivity type of thing that I wanted to show you, but I'm not totally sure what is it. Okay, back to another question. Can we publish ASP.NET Core RC2 apps to Azure App Service? Yes. Yes, you can. And I've actually done this for that starter web project. Let me go ahead and open the site, and we can take a look. View and browser. So that's exactly what I've done. And actually, I can show you the whole process here. Let me take the starter web, and I'm going to publish this to a new Azure App Service. So I'll create new here. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to put it into my demo resource group so I can go ahead and delete everything at once right after I'm done. Database. I'm going to skip the database because it takes a little bit longer. That's fine. I won't be able to demonstrate the actual user registration part, but that's fine, I think. So I'll go ahead and create this guy, and then we can publish that. Let's see. Okay, great. Okay, so now I'm just going to go ahead and click the publish button, and then that's publishing to Azure App Services, and this is an RC2 project, yes. Okay, another question. Let's see, from Michael here. Publishing creates the migration. More often, the migration up-down code is already there. Since we needed it during dev and may indeed have modified it by hand, it won't get stripped off. Ah, okay, yeah, great. Maybe I wasn't very clear. So when I say that your migrations will be created during publish, what I mean by that is the actual idempotent migration SQL script itself. So you'll go ahead. So basically, the flow is you'll have your EF model there. You'll modify the EF model. You'll go ahead and run your migrations locally, test out your changes, and then when you publish, the publish dialog is going to make basically the same call to .NET EF to generate the migration script that was executed on your same local box earlier, and then run that script. So yeah, all the code changes that you've made to your migrations will definitely be included. And then you can run these scripts over and over and over because they are idempotent. All right, we have another question. It's a kind of a long question. Let me try it. My ASP.NET MVC Angular app needs to send mail using HTTP to SendGrid. Okay, it's a SendGrid solution web API. Some way to configure. Okay, this question seems a bit detailed here, and I'm not sure if I can actually answer this question right off the top. Steve, I think your name is. Yeah, Steve, if you could contact me on by email. Let me show you what's my email again. God, you know, I apologize about all these pop-ups. I don't know how to turn that thing off. Yeah, Steve, definitely contact me by email. And if you could kind of, you know, give me a better sense for what it is that you're looking for, I can kind of point you in the right direction. All right, a question from WW. How would you publish to a remote IIS server without using WebDeploy? Just good old FTP. Okay, great question, WW. At the beginning of the talk, I kind of mentioned that the publish dialog doesn't have the full support for publish methods that we have for regular ASP.NET projects. Let me create a regular ASP.NET project here, and then I'll show you the different publish methods that we have, and then kind of what's our plan on bringing that support forward. All right, so this is a regular ASP.NET project here. I can see I've got Microsoft Azure App Services. I can import a publish settings file that my hoster has given me. I can create a custom one by entering the settings manually. And then we can also publish to Azure Virtual Machines. So let me create a custom profile here. And so here we can see the different publish options. So we have WebDeploy, WebDeploy Package, FTP, and File System. For .NET Core projects, essentially, right now, our kind of best support is really for Azure App Service. You can publish to a regular IIS hoster by importing your publish settings file or by manually setting those properties. But we will bring first-class support for regular WebDeploy endpoints, WebDeploy package, FTP, SFTP, FTPS, file system. And then on top of that, what we're going to do is we're going to build a kind of experience for publishing from Visual Studio to a Linux box. And my kind of thoughts there are, you know, I think there's kind of, we'll probably use SSH, I think. There's also rsync, but I'm not sure if that's the right thing. If you think rsync is the right way for Linux publish, definitely comment and let me know. All right, so that was that. Hopefully I answered that question, but yeah, hopefully we're gonna bring all those publish methods soon. All right, can we do this from the command line? VS Code command palette from Shane. I wonder if that's Shane Boyer. Yeah, definitely. Let me go back to my publish script here. So let me open up the ISE. So we looked before to see how could we actually do this from the command line. So here's where I've got my .ps1 file. So if I wanted to create an experience around Visual Studio Code, instead of creating a .sh, .ps1 file, we'd have to create some sort of .sh file here. And then all we would need to do is call .NET publish, and then whatever transport you have there. So if it's a call to FTP, you can make your FTP calls here. Obviously, MS Deploy is only available on Windows, so that might not make too much sense. All right, so that was that. Before I move on, I want to kind of show you. I want to show you more about the command line publish, and then also if I have some time. I want to go to CI publish. So let me do that before I get back to the rest of the questions here. All right, so now from that extra files project that I have, I wanted to take this and automate publishing it. Let me go back to the extra files here. If I right-click and publish, we can see I have a profile that's defined to go to the file system here. Let me open up the PS1 file. So if you remember correctly, I said that the script actually just takes all the properties and then just literally passes it through. If you think about it closely enough, you know, we don't actually see any publish properties being used before the script. It really just happens here. So what that means is you can create a PS1 file, customize it, and then you can actually publish that with different publish methods to different locations. For example, now I've got my publish extra files to Azure. Here I just set up a couple things. So I set up my node path for calling Gulp or Bower, and then I add the path for those as well. I set up a couple variables here. I call .NET publish, and then after that, then I'm going to publish it to WebDeploy, to Azure App Services using WebDeploy. So I have a PS1 file that has my username and password. So I'll go ahead and import that. And then I declare the publish properties here. So I see web publish method, MS deploy service URL, the deploy IS app path, username and password. And this is all the same information that was displayed when you did git help. And then I just call the to file system publish here. So now let's see. So let's see if this works. Okay, publish extra files to Azure. So this is like a really cool concept that you know, you can actually make modifications with one endpoint in mind, but then actually use those same exact modifications, whether you're publishing with MS Deploy or file system, and later on SFTP to Linux and everything. So I think that's really interesting. We only have a few more minutes left here, about 5 minutes. Let me see more questions. Oh, actually, before I do that, I wanted to show you how can I hook this up to a CI server here? So I don't know if you guys are familiar with AppVeyor, but that's like a kind of a really cool build server that I use. It's free for open source projects, so that's really great. Inside, I have a script here for AppVeyor. So here I'm showing you the YAML file. So I've got my build script. It points to the PS1, my published username, and my published password. I've encrypted these with AppVeyor. And then let's look at the PS1 file for AppVeyor here. So I've got my script directory. Just set up the environment. I call npm to install gulp. And then I just call .NET restore, and then I call MS build. That was one thing that I didn't show you guys was how can I publish this with my MS build project? So you can call MS build on your Xproj, and then pass the property deploy on build equals to true, and then publish the name of your published profile, and then I just gave it my username and password, as well as the configuration to build. So that's actually how easy it is to get a ASP.NET Core project automating the publish process using AppVeyor here. It's 11 lines, and even some of these I could have collapsed them into one line. Can we use Azure services such as DocumentDB? Yeah, certainly you can. So let's say if you're going to use a DocumentDB, odds are you're probably going to have like a local DocumentDB, and then when you publish, you want to use a different DocDB. So you have two kind of options. I showed before the app settings.json. So that's where you would go and put your local connection string. And then when you publish it to Azure, you can override the connection strings right on the portal there. So I would create the connection string in app settings.json and then just override it in Azure there. All right, why IntelliSense is not working when I'm editing the .json files from Barry. Okay, that's kind of off topic here. Email me on that one. It should be working. I'm not sure what's going on with it. All right, what about publishing to containers? Yeah, so that actually is more kind of Glenn Condren's space. So we do have a Docker extension. And then when you install that Docker extension, it adds a new button to the publish dialog, and then that'll enable you to publish to Docker containers. Okay, does ASP.NET Core support continuous integration with Team Foundation services? Yeah, actually the kind of like the built-in TFS publish, we're actually working on adding the support, so they're kind of working on it right now as we speak. But you could always modify the script to make the calls today if you have to get that done today. The SH version of WebDeploy for Nix servers will be available at RTM. Okay, that question was from Brent. That's actually a great question. You know, we've talked about supporting WebDeploy on Linux. You know, I think it's kind of an interesting question. I don't know if it really, I think what makes more sense is to meet the Linux people where they're at. So that's why I want to use SSH to actually publish. But with that being said, we're working on updating MS Deploy to run on Nano Server, which means .NET Core. So at some point, there may be a possibility of a Linux MS Deploy. If that's something you're interested in, definitely please do let me know. I've talked to one person who's interested in that, but if there's more people interested, then we can make it happen. And I think, you know, my time is running out. Let me show you guys my contact info one more time. You know, I really appreciate the time you guys have taken to watch this talk, and you know, I think we've tried to simplify and make everything easier here. You know, definitely please do let me know if you think we didn't meet that goal or if you think we need to improve it in other ways. I'm very interested in hearing everything that everybody's got to say. Okay, I think that's it for me.